Oh, hey Sam, how you doing?
Yeah, good man. How are you?
Yeah, not bad. Bloody weirdo.
I'm just tired, Cal.
I just tired. Just a Cal. Tired. I'm a regular Cal.
Anyway, we got some tweets. Shall we read them?
Sure.
First tweet's from @FlintMonkey.
Hey, hey.
It says, 2 minutes into the podcast, and then like colon to indicate that this is him saying this,
this
2 minutes
live
into the podcast.
Tweeting the podcast. Yep.
Yep. So what the fuck are you doing to me? Is what he says. Seriously, guys, where on earth did that existential shit come from? Earth should be capitalized there because it's the name of a place.
God damn.
People often forget to capitalize Earth when talking about the planet. You only don't capitalize Earth when you're talking about the dirt. Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't know. I just felt like some existential nightmare. Sometimes existential dread is great.
I completely have forgotten what we were talking about at 2 minutes into the last
I think we
podcast.
Were talking maybe the heat death of the universe. Or like theories of consciousness.
Of like what counts as alive?
Well, like, I think it was something, I don't remember the theory that it was called that I was reading now, but like every time you make a choice, if you're going to die, that happens in a parallel universe. Sliding doors theory.
Sure.
Yeah, existential dread's fun, man. You ever think about like being dead and not having any consciousness or awareness? Because that shit keeps me up at night. Anyway, next tweet. At Goddamn Robots has tweeted us. What's his face is back.
Oh, nice. That's good.
haven't heard from What's his face in a while, and this is why. The tweet says, eventually I'll be able to listen to the podcast again once I have watched all this media that you have covered in the episodes. Yeah, it's a lot.
Sure. I feel like it isn't, because every time we try to come up with anything to talk about, we always just go like,
Yeah, but what that ends up meaning is we don't do something current. We do some random shit that no one's seen in a million years. Or movies that came out 2 decades ago, like King Kong, which I'm still watching. It's still on in the background.
It's not finished yet.
It hasn't finished yet. I'm still watching it 8 weeks later.
Fuck, God damn that movie.
It's a long one, ain't it?
When you consider how many other Jack Black movies we could have watched in that time.
I know. School of Rock, man.
Oh, don't get me started. We were talking about how fucking good that movie was just the other day.
It's so good. Did you hear about the kid who plays the drummer died recently?
Oh, that's
he fucked. Got hit by like he got hit by like a van in the while riding a push bike at
that's
night.
That's fucked. I mean, well, okay,
yeah,
that's
horrible.
On him. Don't ride a push bike at night.
Well, but, yes,
not to
but
say he deserved
also,
it. Like nobody fucking deserves that, but fuck.
But it's also still super duper sad.
Absolutely,
I'm pretty.
They should have cast him as Bakugo in the live action My Hero Academia movie. He's another
The actor's name's Kevin Clark, and he was 32.
Fuck.
So, that's shit, isn't it?
That's weird to put into perspective, because that kid is about the same age as me.
How old are you now, Kel? Like 40?
I'm like 29. But so like when I watched that movie, he was only like a couple of years older than me for the first time. Man, that's fucked.
Well, that's like, don't think too hard about how old the Harry Potter kids are.
Oh, yeah, no, you can't, man. You can't.
You just can't.
It just throws your fucking head off completely.
So what am I doing with my life?
Well, because it's also like Maisie Williams, right? Like, she was a child star when I was an adult, and now she's just a normal star, and I'm like, I'm so old. Or like Chloe Grace Moretz from fucking Kick-Ass, who was like played an inappropriately young girl for any movie that she was ever in, and now it's just like she's just an actress now.
Yep
she fucking well, she gets like a shirt off with Zac Efron for a living. That's weird.
Yep. There's also, like, the Euros are on in Europe at the minute, the football tournament. I can't remember which team, but I'm pretty sure they said the youngest person on that team is 17. Yeah. And I'm just, like, sitting on the couch with my beer and a piece of cake. Just, like...
Just regretting all your fucking choices.
Just regretting every choice I've ever made in my entire life, you know?
Oh, because, like, I get angry at kids. Well, not at kids.
No, I get angry at kids. Well, they're enough. Stupid and they should know better.
I get angry at the kids who are, like, super successful at, like, 15. Because it's like, you're not successful. You have shit parents. Like, that's really what happened. Your parents hate you and they want you to make money for them. That's it. That's what really happened. But then I'm like, fuck, I wish my parents hated me more.
Well, that's the thing, though, because... Like, to a certain respect, your tastes are entirely defined by your parents. Either your alignment with their taste or your rejection of their taste and the active flip, right? Mm. So
that's what a lot of people fall into, yeah.
Yeah. So I think when you try and, like... And then there's the, you know, the parents who actively try not to put their taste onto their children. And then you get jaded, bald dickheads.
Yeah, like me.
As a result. Yeah, yeah, yep.
I see where you're going with that. Yeah.
Yep.
Cool.
I mean, there's no right way to parent, right?
There's definitely a wrong way to do it, though.
But there is definitely a wrong way, isn't there?
Oh, there's hundreds of wrong ways.
Hey, Cal, are you a parent?
Nah.
Me either.
Good. Fucking, if there's one thing the world needs, it's not more of this.
One day, Cal, our kids will continue this podcast. That's the only reason I ever plan to have children. It's so they can continue this podcast. And no, I will force that taste upon them. And if they try and reject it, they'll get the whip.
No, it's to graft our brains onto, to give us young bodies so we can continue the podcast forever.
Surely clones would be easier. Or
absolutely not.
Absolutely not. You don't think so? Or you want to merge your genetics with someone who's
I know how to have a kid. I don't know how to make a clone.
But you don't know how to make a clone. Right, but do you know how to move your consciousness into a child's brain?
Well, no, but that's we've got to do that either way, so we might as well cut the corner where we can.
Now it's just finding a partner that will actually have that kid with you, knowing what the end result is going to be.
Oh, man. I'm predicting the tweets now. It's just going to be Matt being like, why are you getting into this existential bullshit again?
This isn't existential. It's just a little bit fucked, and we should probably move on. Yeah.
Because, like, you would die during the process of grafting your brain onto somebody else's brain.
Well, so, and then it invites
it still
the question:
you, or is it just
Yes, fresh I was going to say, is it still you, or is it a copy of your consciousness that thinks it's you? Have you died, and something else lives on, thinking it's you?
What do you ever continue to live? Like, if you fall asleep, how do you know that when you wake up, you're not a different person? Like, that you're not a different instance of yourself? You can't.
Yes, I've seen the CGB Grey video too, Cal.
Yeah, so just don't think about it. We're on the fucking... We're on the precipice of the life doesn't actually exist... The consciousness doesn't actually exist precipice of abyss. Ugh. Anyway. We got any more tweets? Preferably about something more distracting.
At Riley is good tweeted saying, I did really like Quiet Place 2, but I was kind of like, are we really doing this when they gave the creatures a second big weakness... And they chucked in survivors who are crazy, which every A Quiet Place knockoff has done. That opening scene is perfect, though.
Because, the whole, they can't swim thing kind of makes sense if the bones on the outside of their body are so dense they can withstand small arms fire.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense that they can't swim. It does beg the
question... But they fucking do swim, though. They swim in the first movie.
No, they don't.
Well, it swims through the flooded basement.
No, it doesn't.
Like, it goes under, it slips under the water and pops up again.
Does it?
Yes.
But it, I mean, it that's
probably,
also
it
different.
It probably could reach the floor.
I was going to say, it's there was also a human standing there. These things are twice the size of humans. So I'm sure it was just standing. Because anyone can stand in water. Swimming's a whole different thing, though.
Maybe.
There's also the theory based on... they probably have no buoyancy as a species, right? Like you said, there must be no buoyancy. Because otherwise... swimming isn't that hard for humans, generally speaking, because we have some buoyancy that allows us to stay afloat with just a little bit of effort.
Yeah.
But these creatures look like they probably have no buoyancy.
Yeah. I just found it a little dumb. It's like, because even if they couldn't swim, right, why can't they just walk along the bottom of the ocean Terminator style?
Yep. It's true.
Mm. Like, that island is not safe, but anyway.
We got another tweet from Riley, or two tweets, really. I'm going to merge them. Riley's tweeted us the ranking of 2021 films, okay. And at the bottom is a movie called COVID-21. And it's a COVID-based zombie movie. Don't watch it, says Riley. It was definitely a regular zombie movie that they repurposed to be about COVID because coronavirus. It's said once in voiceover, but the characters refer to it as an ancient form of rabies constantly during the film. So,
so
yeah,
they
that
clearly
can
just
fuck
tacked
off.
On something at the beginning.
God, what a funny. Horrible sounding film. And then we got another tweet from at B4 the movies pod.
Oh, yeah. Never heard of them.
The best part of Army of the Dead was right at the end, where Netflix played a clip of the Spider-Verse movie over the credits.
Oh, God damn it.
And then in another tweet from the BTM podcast, it says that that the dead pixel in the middle of Army of Darkness... Oh, sorry, Army of Dead. I said Army of Darkness, didn't I? I meant Army of the Dead.
Yeah.
I meant Army of the Dead. You all knew what I meant, right?
I did.
Anyway, that says, Army of Darkness, good movie. Army of Dead, not. The BTM podcast tweeted saying, the dead pixel in the middle of the screen is clearly the work of a true auteur. So,
I agree.
So like, that's that, and this is... be in the tweet segment.
So I'd seen a few, like I was watching a few people's sort of theories on Army of the Dead, and
yeah,
and the thought that it was nanobots that were slowly like turning people into Terminator style like synthetic beings.
Yeah,
which is probably does explain a lot of the Chekhov's arsenal jokes that we were making of like. The things coming back to life and stuff,
it doesn't justify them because it sets them all up
and then doesn't use them. That's the problem with it.
Like, but also, the nanobots don't even justify that. Why are the bodies decomposing if they're changing the bodies?
Well, the theory is that basically the further you get from the main guy, the less nanobots you have keeping you alive.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But the nanobots kill you?
Well, they slowly coat your skeleton in metal and make your eyes glow blue and replace the need for a body on like for your brain so that your body can die and rot away and it doesn't really matter.
Why wouldn't they coat the skulls in metal so the brain was protected?
I mean, they do with that one zombie that was clearly a robot.
Except they still shot in the head and it died.
Well, yeah, because I guess it didn't have enough metal on its head. I don't know.
Stupid, Cal. Stupid theory by a dumb idiot that wants to justify a stupid movie.
It's a dumb bum movie that's just meant to be fun. And I think it is kind of
the more I think about that movie, though, the more I've thought about that movie, though, the more I'm like, that was bad and I'm never going to watch it ever again.
Now, I think I really like the joke of like, oh, there really is this like whole other thing about nanobots and robots and other things going on, and we're just not going to acknowledge it. Like, it's all just there, and it's just not really a big deal. Like, I kind of like that joke But yeah, it's a bit not good. Besides the, like, it's fun. It's not a good movie, but it's fun.
It has fun bits. It's just, it teases more fun bits that it then doesn't do.
Yeah. Yeah, that's...
doesn't that double down on its own premise.
We're not talking about this movie, though. We should...
No, we should stop and do the thing that we always do.
Okay, we should play the music. Is that what you're trying to say, Sam?
Yes, that's what I'm suggesting.
Cool, play the music! Hello and welcome to the Video Shop Podcast, about what you're watching, maybe. I'm your host, Cal.
I'm your other host, Sam, and today we're talking about tweets. Just tweets, all episode.
All day.
All day.
Every
no, we're
day.
Talking about Luca. Luca. Disney, Pixar's, and Luca.
H2O.
Or just add Luca. Today we're talking about The Little Mermaid.
Two little merboys.
Spoilers for Luca. What did you think overall, Cal?
I quite enjoyed this.
Me too.
See you next week, everybody.
All right, bye.
I found this a lot, like, it was a bit slow to start, and I wasn't entirely sold on it until a little later into the film. Mm-hmm. But
Me
it
too.
Just kept
once
getting
the,
more wholesome.
Once the little girl showed up and was, like, teaching them how to human, that was where I was firmly on board at that point.
It really did establish, like, that was a complete cast at that point. You know, like,
yeah,
those three I could watch go on adventures on a weekly basis.
All day. Give me the series of that. Absolutely.
Mm. And, like, because I thought that there was going to be a little, like, the whole town hunting the sea monsters thing really did seem, it was a little bit peripheral and not quite engaged with enough to justify the turnaround of people at the end. Like, it really did seem like no one actually cared about the sea monsters.
They were just, I know what you mean.
Yeah, like, as soon as they went, oh, well, if they're just people, that's fine. Like, more people. I like people.
Yep.
Let's ride bikes and go fishing.
Well, that's the thing. I'm like, these things can talk. They're clearly sentient.
Like, they're not monsters.
I guess humans
people.
Humans probably would try to kill them, but...
Nah.
Well, some humans would. You know they would, Cal.
Nah. Honestly, I think people would just be super keen on hanging out with them.
Most would, I think. Absolutely.
But, like...
No, they wouldn't. Fox News would come out and go,
God,
fish people
it.
Are going to steal all your jobs. They're going to stop us being able to fish. They won't let us fish in the seas anymore. Is that what you want? Fucking Fox News. Fucking Rupert Murdoch can go and jump off a bridge. That's my rant over. Anyway,
cool.
What were you going to say? This wholesome movie that I enjoyed, yes.
Like, I loved the whimsical, like, dream sequences that they had. I just liked...
Those were so pretty. I wish for those sequences alone I had been able to see this at a cinema.
Yeah.
Did it get a cinema release in Oz, or was it straight to Disney Plus?
Straight to Disney Plus.
And was there premiere access?
No, you didn't have to pay for it, so...
Yep, same here.
Yeah.
No cinema release.
And it was only an hour and a half, which makes me think that it was sort of never meant to be released in cinemas.
Oh, no, it definitely was. All the creators on this movie have come out going, we are so sorry you don't get to see this at a cinema.
Man, that sucks. Because...
Yeah.
Because I would love to, like, to watch a movie that didn't bloat its fucking story down and into a 2-hour-long release just to be, in, like, efficient in cinemas.
It does cinemas favors when movies are shorter. They can actually show more films and sell more sessions. Mm. So I don't know what this obsession with... Because there's your place. Endgame was always going to be 3 hours. You know, Titanic was going to be 3 hours. But I genuinely am a big believer that a crisp 90 minutes is actually the ideal film length in most cases. unless your story really demands more, I think most stories can be told in a nice 90-minute length.
Mm. Yeah, I definitely agree. Like, there's something about a 30-minute act length that's nice,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to a 1-hour act length.
Even though it doesn't quite break down, it's more like 2 15-minute acts with the second act being the long one in the middle that's actually an hour. But yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess that's probably the closest thing to a real criticism I've heard of Luca, is that it doesn't like defaulting to like bullshit template terms, it doesn't define the ordinary world before the hero is thrust into the new one. Like, we don't know.
I felt like
yeah.
It did. You didn't feel like you had a proper understanding of Fishland?
I mean, Fishland just seemed like normal land. Like,
what were they farming those fish for? That's what I want to know.
I mean, they were
those
sheep.
Cute little sheep that went bar. Yeah, yeah, like, but they're not like, they're not shearing them. Are they eating them?
Yes.
Because those things also clearly have a very intelligent, well, they have super high awareness. I suppose humans do that too with animals, so what's the difference? But, they're not shearing them.
Those fish were like, there's not a fish alive that was as smart as those fish.
Yeah, like, true. Well, absolutely.
You might struggle to find anything that isn't a mammal that was as smart as those. Yep. Anyway, but yeah, so like it was more that it was just like literally the only restriction was don't go on land. Like it didn't feel like there was, he didn't like, Luca didn't feel like Belle trapped in the rural country town with no prosperous future because of her family.
Or, well, and a closer example, Ariel from The Little Mermaid has the same deal, right?
Mm.
And her dad comes and destroys all her human collection, right?
Yeah.
That happens in that movie.
I think so. Right? I remember The Little Mermaid TV series more clearly than I remember the actual Little Mermaid.
Little Mermaid 2 is better
than
the first one. And then the third one's actually surprisingly good too. Mm. Yeah.
But like, just the wholesome, like, just the shenanigans of like, oh, they can't get wet, like, gotta avoid the rain and, you know, falling into the fountain.
And it looks amazing too, all that. It looked incredible.
Mm.
And that kind of stuff is why I wish I'd seen it in cinemas. Like, I've got a pretty alright sized TV, but it's not the same. Mm.
And I've really liked watching a movie with fucking low stakes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was just not fucking think about the horrendous bullshit involved in the...
It was very light, wasn't it? Which made it really easy to engage with.
Well, and it made...
And it was really refreshing.
It made the bits that were emotional, or, like, trying to hit an emotional note, just sort of a lot easier to relate to. Like, you didn't have to recontextualize abandonment issues, like, within the realm of the entire MCU and the warpath of Thanos, like they do with with the Guardians of the Galaxy story and...
Or with how somehow Palpatine has returned.
Star Wars doesn't even try to put any fucking deeper theme involved. Ugh.
Well, they did, and then everyone hated The Last Jedi, Cal.
Cause,
so they didn't do that again.
Like, just watching, like,
learn from
these
that
kids
mistake.
Whimsically enjoy learning about astronomy.
Oh, that was, and again, the visuals of Saturn sitting in this like river as he's running along the rings. I'm like, oh my god, this is like a feast for my eyes.
Yeah,
it
felt so like Little Princey, where like, it's about this, like, whimsical, different perspective on the world that kids have compared to adults.
Yeah.
Man, I just had a really good time.
It's just nice, isn't it? It reminded me in all the same things I liked about Onward are present here.
Mm.
That, like, relatively low-stakes story.
Mm.
This is even more low-stakes than Onward, but then also that like brotherly relationship, the adventure. I think I liked Onward more, but that doesn't take away from Luca at all.
I think I'd probably watch Luca again. Like, I'd watch Onward again, but probably just show it to somebody else. I'd put Luca on as a like, I just want to de-stress.
After like a detox? Shit day at work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
that's true. It's really relaxing. I like the water, the way that all the water is, I think helps with that.
Mm. Like it's sort of, I hear people compare it to a Ghibli film a lot, like a Kiki's Delivery Service kind of thing. And I think I would watch it for the same reason. I don't think it really fits that very well. Like, I don't know. It just, the interesting parts about Kiki is the meandering story. Whereas this has a very clearly defined goal pretty early, and a clearly defined B plot of like deciding what you want to do with your life, and
yeah,
like because Luca deciding to go to school and just be a part, like be with other kids, is like comparing that to Alberto's decision to stay and just work and help and be useful and like having this like satisfaction with just getting things done and helping people as opposed to a satisfaction out of learning new things and growing. Like it's such an interesting like fundamental decision that a lot of people struggle with.
Mm-hmm.
Like because like and that's like present right from the beginning. Like Alberto immediately is like, I already know everything there is to know. I'm basically an expert. And he likes feeling that way. And Luca is so, like open to new things and really wants to explore and learn new things. I'm just gushing at how just straight up wholesome and relatable the whole thing was.
Yeah, no, and it just really was. And it was, it was just sweet. And even when the parents came to, like, find him, and they're just, like, trying to find ways to splash all these kids, it's just such a wholesome, like, thing they're trying to achieve.
I like that it just sort of went, the parents don't become the antagonists of this story. They're just the slapstick B story.
Yep. They're the slapstick B story, exactly. And it when they're like playing playing soccer and knocking all them kids into the pond.
And all the kids are just like, hey, leave us alone.
Why are you doing this, big lady?
Mean lady. And meanwhile, the fucking flog antagonist, like the real bad guy.
Oh my God. Thing,
like the world's shittest take on Gaston.
And everyone hates him, and he's got, like, no real friends.
Because I love that it contextualizes the Vespa in that. That, like, real adults are like, it's a fucking Vespa, kid. But this kid treats it like he's a fucking celebrity, and it's his sports car.
Vespas are pretty cool, man.
Vespas are fucking awesome. I would love to fucking run away to Italy and just fucking ride my Vespa around. That'd be sick.
Eat pasta all the time, drink wine and espresso.
Man, and how fucking wholesome was that dad?
Where,
like, Alberto runs off and goes missing, and the dad's just like, well, I better go look for him.
I'm not sure he wants to be found. Well, I'm just going to check.
Yeah, just in case. I'll be there for him, damn it. Like, fuck, man. For a kid who got abandoned by his own dad, how much that would have meant is a scene that I wish we got. Like, I just want him rowing out to the island and having a little chat with him.
That would have been a nice scene.
I think it would have been.
It does pay off in the fact that he stays with him at the end.
Yes.
Like he finds family there, you know? Mm. And like he's gonna make him an awesome fisherman. Like, you know, look how much fish they help catch. Well,
yeah, like he's going to be just as good a character and just as good a role model. For somebody else someday.
Yeah.
Like, there's a movie out there where a little, like, little fish kid gets separated from their family, ends up on land living with humans for a bit, and living with, like, this old fisherman dude who eventually reveals that he's a fishman. And, yeah, like, that's a movie in itself of late-game Alberto.
Yep, yep. I back all that.
Man, I know this is not a particularly well-structured episode, because it really is just gushing, but goddamn, like, I think, because I was a little disappointed by Soul, and I didn't see
I remember
the good
you
dinosaur.
Being a little disappointed by that. Who cares about the good dinosaur?
And I didn't see Coco.
I heard a good dinosaur was fine, and I appreciated what Soul was doing, but I totally understand why people loved it, and it was good. It wasn't bad by any stretch, but it wasn't my favorite of the Pixar family, you know?
It felt like Pixar was had the world on their shoulders, and they were really trying not to buckle, but like they made some like really groundbreaking Touchstone kids movies, and everyone just expected them to really be like, and then they made Inside Out, where it was like everyone went, "You've nailed like depression. You've like cured and solved depression." Because you came up with
Inside
Out.
The key is just talk to the little voices inside your head.
The key is that the memories can be sad or happy. They don't have to be one or the other. Like they can be sad and happy at the same time. They don't need to be one or the other. Like you can.
Feelings are not necessarily exclusive and conflictory.
Yeah. Yeah, and
that's
like,
not a word.
It's not, but it makes sense.
Okay.
Well, and like, and your emotions don't have to control you. You're like, they're not at the helm. You're at the helm.
Yeah.
But and just not being happy or like, and just letting yourself be sad sometimes is okay. Like, there's a few things in there that are good, but it doesn't like people talked about that movie like, fuck, man, like Pixar are just like the next level. Like they get it. About stuff, and I think they sort of had they got a big head over that, and they were really trying to like nail it. Like they were really trying to be like, "Fuck, do you know who we are? We made Inside Fucking Out, bitch. We made Toy Story, motherfuckers. We can make a movie about fucking anything. Yes, we'll tackle the fucking afterlife, the horrifying abyss that comes after fucking your death, and the deeply intrinsic part of every religion worldwide, and the other aspect of that as well, we're going to do that where you're born and you have a soul and this new spark of inspiration comes to an otherwise just flesh body. And we're just going to nail that just as hard as we nailed fucking Toy Story.
I understand why Soul landed for a lot of people and why, because I think for a lot of people it was an Inside Out level film.
Yeah, but I agree.
It wasn't for me. But it depends on perspective, right? Everyone experiences stuff differently. But it also, Inside Out just was so clean, and Soul left me with a lot of logic questions that I didn't quite understand.
Yep. It doesn't actually give you an answer for any of that. It just sort of goes, like, just don't be scared of death or sad about life, and don't.
I think the message of Soul was make the most of everything you can and don't feel like one thing defines you. You are a person of, you know, person. People are not just a thing. People are people with experiences and thoughts that vary and opinions that vary and tastes that vary. And even among yourself, you know, everyone's got multiple things they like and love that you don't have to box. You don't have to be a sporty one or a nerd or cars are your one thing, you know?
Mm.
And people often break themselves down to that one thing. When you don't have
hung
to
up on the things that they have, like on their identity.
Yes. And you, but your identity isn't that. And I think that was kind of the point of Soul. Because, you know, all those souls, they're like, they get their little thing, and that's their thing, and that's the thing they go down to Earth with, and it's like, that defines them, but that's not what has to... Your thing is not a defining characteristic of you as a person. Mm. I think that was the point of Soul, and I actually think it does succeed in that regard. But again, it depends how you want to read it.
Well, but even because if that's your idea, right, you could have told a much like cleaner, simpler story about that that doesn't involve.
I think maybe
the fucking they wanted afterlife. To.
Well, I think that's probably where you're getting hung up, but sure.
It just because I think it tries to tackle this person's like fear of the void, a fear of death, and a fear of wasting your life, and this like existential midlife crisis, as well as a adolescent identity crisis at the same time, and claims to be able to give an answer for both, and it doesn't really succeed at doing that, and it doesn't neatly show the older character that there's some that their perspective could be changed, like so that a change in perspective to think more like a younger person would help in such a neater way as like a body swap movie would have done, because really that's what this was. It was a body swap movie.
Yes, it was. Yeah. Well, so, I think that was just an element of it. I think the body swap had little to do with the theme, and part of the theme was also like, don't you know, being something like a teacher does not mean you're a failure. That is not a defining characteristic of success. Right, that was in the movie. I swear that happened. But that's also the plot of Yesterday. Success is not just fame. It's having meaningful, complex relationships, and having friends and family that you love and spend time with. And you know, I love that movie. I watched that again recently. Yesterday, it's so good.
Yesterday's very good. But yeah, again, like that. That's another movie that sort of clearly tackles that, like being unsatisfied with your life, like middle age, like midlife crisis problem, you know?
Yeah.
And it doesn't try to also solve this angsty adolescent don't understand your identity problem. Like, and then put all that together with two of the most complicated questions in the world of like, whether, like, how your soul works, if that concept is a thing or not, and how life and birth and death comes into all of that. Like, to go, to be arrogant enough to say that you have an answer to that and then offer us soul as the answer is just not good enough, in my opinion. It seemed like it had just such lofty expectations of itself that it couldn't possibly have ever met.
Fair enough.
That's my problem
with
Soul. And that's fine. Getting back to Luca a little bit, it was just so nice to have Pixar just go, fuck man, we don't have to tackle like huge, huge things. We don't have to be the people who like contextualize depression for everybody and teach people about mental health. It can just be like kids trying to figure out who they are and coming up against prejudice and their own doubt in who they really are. Like,
that's what really works about Luca, I think. Yeah, it's simple and light, but not boring light. Like, there's nothing to it. It's about finding place, finding you as a person, which is something every single human being on this planet has struggled with at some point.
Hmm.
So I think it's a very universal message.
I think, or
a very universal story rather than a message. It's not so much a message, but yeah.
Yeah. Pixar did a really good job here. We keep saying Pixar. It is Disney and Pixar. But like they did a really good job of...
Pixar is always Disney and always has been since Toy Story.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
there's nothing new there.
The creators of Luca did a very good job of making it accessible enough to everybody that I think while you can read, like you can read that sort of coding into it, I think the intention was to be a lot more broad than that, and to just to allow anyone who's ever felt like they can't be themselves around other people, you know, which is fucking everybody.
Yeah.
You know, in on this feeling and in on this idea of like, you feel like you might be losing a friend, that they might be drifting away from you, and like, what does that say about you and what abandonment issues you might have?
in regards to like how it's a really light, uplifting kind of movie, it was nice because when I watched it yesterday, and before I watched it, I watched the I watched John Carpenter's They Live. Have you seen?
No,
John Carpenter's
seen
They Live, Cal.
I've seen many video analyses on it, but
I came here to chew bubblegum and kick ass, and I'm all out of bubblegum.
Is that what that's from?
Yeah. It is a movie that lacks subtlety.
Yeah.
In every regard, but yeah, by design.
Yeah.
And it's an intense, harrowing journey that was all too real. and it was an incredible film. But afterwards, I'm just like, oh boy. It's straight up satire. Yeah. It's just straight up satire of the world.
Yeah.
There's a scene where, like, he's wearing the I don't know if you know the premise, but he finds these glasses, and when you wear them, it shows you what the world's really like.
Yeah,
and it shows you that they're
being controlled by these like weird anatomy doll creatures.
Yeah, they're like these aliens that are living among us, and they've put subliminal messaging in everything that hide what is truly there.
Mm.
So, like, he puts the glasses on, and the big poster on the wall says, "Obey." You know, it makes it a black and white communist yeah. state. But yeah. then he looks down at this cashier who's holding some money, and the money's just got written across it, "This is your God." And I'm like, ah, God.
Yeah.
Because it's true. Anyway, Luca was a nice wind down.
Well, and because
was
yeah, like I really liked Luca, and I really hope that it gets the sort of recognition that it deserves. I think a lot of people are a bit lukewarm on it.
I wonder if it got a cinema release, it would be better.
Maybe.
Like, not, it would be better, but, like, it would be getting a bit more attention.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
I've seen, like, no... Have you seen any marketing for it? Because I haven't.
No. Not in, like, public spaces. I have seen... I've seen it come up in, like, best, like, movies to look forward to in 2021 or whatever.
Yeah. But no, like, recent marketing stuff.
Mm. Yeah, and, like, definitely nothing out in the wild, only on the internet.
Nothing in the wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew what you meant, but that was just funny. Because did people go into the wild anymore? I feel like all I ever see is on the internet.
Fuck, it feels like it sometimes, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, man. At the risk of getting off topic and getting dark and existential again, have you seen Bo Burnham's special called Inside?
No.
I don't think you should watch it.
Okay.
You might just get super sad.
Okay. Cool.
And that makes me
Did
think
you
that
watch
you
it?
Should watch it, but you also really shouldn't watch it.
Did you watch it, Cal?
I did watch it.
Did it make you super sad?
Yes.
I see.
Yeah.
Then, look, I don't need any additional sad things in my life at the moment, I don't think,
so
I'll probably be okay.
So I shouldn't have watched it?
Life is just kind of a bummer at the moment, and I think everyone can contest to that. So,
and so I'm really fucking glad that just this like lighthearted kids adventure movie, not even an adventure movie, a kids fucking just whimsical fucking coming together story. Like, I don't even know what you'd call this, because it's a relationship drama, but it's kind of coming of age, but not really. Yeah, I guess it is. I don't know. Fuck, I'm just glad that this movie exists, man. I'm glad that it's just fucking lighthearted and whimsical and colourful and beautiful.
Yeah, it's nice. And we've hit the 50... I'm probably going to edit stuff out of this one, so it might be less than that. But we've talked enough, I think.
I think we can leave it there. Everyone should just go watch it, because we haven't spoiled enough
yes.
of it to...
I think in the US, it did get a limited cinema run, so if you can see it in cinemas in the US, I highly recommend it, because I think it's going to just improve the overall experience of the film, because it is gorgeous.
Yeah.
And I don't know what we're going to talk about next week.
Nobody does. So
you and me certainly don't.
Fuck no. So if you think of anything, tweet us, and I guess we'll see if that works for us.
Yep.
Otherwise,
Good
what did you think of Luca?
Oh, yeah, tweet us about that.
Yeah. Tweet us about, I don't know.
Anything you like, really.
Yeah. Yeah, we're cool with it. Like, just whatever. How you doing? Anyway.
Yeah, we can probably call it there, I reckon.
Yeah, I think we can. See you, nerds.